likely resume concession and is asking for vending machine placement. You know, where we stand in the food service industry today is it's still very difficult, very tough. Food costs, labor shortage, labor costs, you know, all of those things still are, unfortunately, a burden to many of your operations and just across the country, period. So people are looking to do things different, and so we're trying to accommodate the services and pick that business up. While we're doing that, and for example, Frank, when I have that meeting, I am going to solicit, you know, maybe our ability to operate the concession. Maybe they just weren't pleased with that concession here. So I'm not just, you know, taking these meetings and these calls and just, you know, answering questions based off what I'm being asked. I'm out there soliciting what we have to offer with the hopes that we can offer something above and beyond just vending that creates opportunity across the state.
Yeah, when it comes to Pinnacle Logistics, I think I've poked you guys on it a couple times because yep. I've seen how well it does. Yep. Is there any concern with them asking for less vending machines that they're not going against the law there, correct?
No, because our law states that we operate within their request and what they want. Like, so we have the law, we have first right. That's our strongest point as a program. Is the first right opportunity. That's the strongest point we stand on in the program. Outside of that, we don't, you know, pull up with our size 12 and kick down the door and say this corner here is comfy for us. They have to want us, and they have to let us know what they want from us, and in turn, we either provide to the best of our ability. And if they're not satisfied, then at that point they have every right to go somewhere else. So it is sensitive out there. I think day to day you really have no idea, you know, how sensitive it is to maintain these contracts. You know, there's 1,300 machines spread out across the state, and to no fault of sometimes ours, you know, there's either hiccups that happen, which we all understand and know. So it's a constant challenge to maintain exceptional service in which everyone demands. So we do our best.
Kind of what I was getting at was it's not like they opened up a over-the-counter operation or
no.
a micro-market on their own without consulting.
No cross-competitive food service options have been observed there. No.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And so moving to agency update, again, I just, you know, not to repeat myself, but I will because it's just on my notes. Carol Jenkins from Nebraska, who, you know, I believe was a director in some capacity. I'm not sure if she was the head director, but she served in the title equivalent to that, has come to our agency in replacement of Brian, and she's very knowledgeable, and I think we all are going to be able to take good from Carol in one capacity or another. You know, to some she may you know just be inspirational, just, you know. And I said that, wow, you know, for her to pack and get up and take a plane and just come on and start her life over, not life over, but continue life in such a new area is amazing. And so I think she's going to do well, and she's starting off well, and we all seem to be receptive to her guidance. So she will be on either, like I said, the next call we have in March, or I may set up a call in between to give her, you know, appropriate time and space to introduce herself. So we will see. And outside of that, we can go into open forum. Does anyone have any questions? Or
I do have one additional thing, if Chairman mm-hmm. Haley doesn't mind. Me and Chairman Haley sat on a call with Rosa DeLore's staff, and we were discussing things to try and have money made for opportunities outside of food service. The program just has to reinvent itself to be more profitable. Now, when we talk about outside of food service, I view that it's going to have to be private sector. And as you know, I've poked you several times about even getting into the private sector for vending machines, and that's really gone nowhere. So if Randolph Shepherd becomes more of a private sector thing, is our state going to be left behind because we refuse to get into the private sector, or is that something that you don't foresee being a problem?
I think, you know, when we talk about private sector isn't something that I have the ability to just say, all right, yeah, we can expand the program. That's law. So when we talk about private sector offerings, that has to be the change of law. If we see that that's where Randolph Shepherd is headed and is required or is allowed and provides like TAC information from a federal standpoint or even a state standpoint in which states that, you know, this is an allowance, then certainly we will operate according to our allowance. So, you know, to answer your question there, you know, obviously private sectors may open up a pool of potential opportunity, but that still is no guarantee. And the reason why I say that is because our VR program will allow you to operate and work with you to be an entrepreneur out of their program, and I'm still getting an influx of interest coming through our program. You know, it's easy. And I will also say, should that day ever come where we are allowed to operate in the private sector, that isn't just a simple expansion of allowance. You have to factor in, well, the $2 million budget that sounds like a lot now would be depleted ASAP. So unless there's, you know, besides the allowance, unless there is a continuous funding source, and I don't mean just for administration, but to support, you know, operators that can operate outside of the state and federal and municipal operations, this sounds very much like it would turn into a set-aside state in which right now I can assure you, and I'm not sure what calls you've been on, but set-aside states are struggling. They're struggling. So because once that set-aside opportunity happens, all of these responsibilities that are budgeted through our state contract, would be subject to change because of the fact that there's just absolutely no way at that point to be able to pay a lease, to pay a rent, because our first right isn't going to allow us to occupy a space rent and lease free. It's not going to allow us to occupy a space without utilities. It's not going. So there's so many fees that are associated that there would need to be clear guidance in a budget with that guidance to allow us to open up that opportunity. So, you know, I can't foresee anything that hasn't been, you know, thrown across our program, nor have I heard from RSA in regards. So we'll move accordingly.
Hi, Tyrell, this is Shelly.
Hey, Shelly.
Question for you. On your spotlight, I get, from what you said, you're spotlighting any ideas that are beneficial to the program. So what if and highlighting those ideas and making people speak about them, what about the field reps? If they have anything of contribution to this new endeavor, are they going to be also spotlighted?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, when we talk about spotlighting, I think it's important to acknowledge everyone that has taken part in to someone that has done something, in turn, when we say someone, operators, managers, who are, you know, have been identified to have done something in positive light, whether it's, you know, something they've added in their business, a process, you know, some sort of arrangement to create, you know, a cheaper whatever cost for merchandise, whatever it is. My expectations aren't to be put just on you as the operator. It stands on the field reps as well. Like, this needs to be a 50-50, participation. And so, you know, I understand that manager involvement in past years has been, you know, sometimes minimal with the field reps, but the time, it has to stop. It has to stop. I think we have to, you know, stay in good communication. No one should know what the other one's not doing. You know, and like I've always said, I should not know anything before a field rep, unless it's something urgent. And so, you know, part of being able to grow your business is to grow your trust. You got to be able to trust someone to grow your business. You have to be open and receptive to listening and trying, even if it's things that may not pique your interest. But I'd rather hear you something failed rather than it didn't work. I'd rather hear someone say that's a possibility. I'd rather hear someone not say it's a possibility and rather hear them say, I'm trying it. Like, we need to move forward. And there's, I'm telling you, there's, I just, probably 5 to 10 things I can think of right off the top of my head that can be tried, that we've talked about in the past, that I've yet to hear anyone try. But we need to try these things in 2023. It's just part of moving this program forward.
Not really a side, but that came to me when we were, as you guys were discussing the vacation pay. I'm not a part of the committee, but I would make a suggestion to the chair, the vice chair, and the committee members who are online or whoever you guys can get the word out to, that in discussing the vacation pay, since there's such a wide range, like Tyrell said earlier, of people who work seasonal or people who do the partnership 1 or 2 days a week they're in, or someone else like now with a 24th picked up something else, if when you guys are discussing the vacation pay, if you would have or try to have the discussion with a wide range of people who actually fit each criteria to get the better range of what it should be versus what it is now. Just a thought, I guess. When you guys are discussing how we should move forward with the actual allocation of those funds, or if they should be discontinued, or however you guys see fit.
Thank you, Shelly. Anyone else have anything on open forum? Brandy, you're on mute. I don't know if you're talking.
Yeah, I thought I heard Keith again, so I stopped.
Nope, wasn't me.
Oh, maybe it's just feedback. Anyway, I was going to ask about an idea that I had that RSA actually presented was about these food carts that they're really into and doing. Is it possible for us to, for Besby to basically purchase a food cart that we can then use on maybe one operator or different operators in the fair season? I mean, those are considered state, throughout state properties or state fairs. I mean, is that another way that we could bring, again, opportunity training and other things to the program, you know, give people each an opportunity to do one of the fairs and make some extra money for this, you know, for their business? Is it something that we could possibly do that Besby would be able to support us in doing, as it would be on state grounds? It would be for, I mean, it could, for us.
I think that's a great question. Let me look into that. Because I think that is a great question.
As well as the site that you're saying is looking to get rid of their concession. Maybe they'd just be happy with like a hot dog cart. Or again, I know the castle is also unsure of those situations. Maybe downgrading that to something like, you know, just an ice cream cart or something like those kinds of things. I'm not just talking about a little ice cream cart either, but you know what I mean? Something that has ice cream drinks, snacks, to help bring extra money, especially to operators like Rich, who in the summertime is dead as can be at his place, where he could really use an extra pick-me-up in the summer and do something like that.
Yeah, I think anything in that area is possible. Obviously, we have to consider a couple things, such as, you know, where an ice cream cart would be stored off-season. You know, just the logistics of things and how we would transport, and, you know, a cart if we, you know, maybe purchased one and, personally used it as a piggyback. But I think, you know, I'm not opposed to it. I think it's a good question. It's something that allows us to kind of think about and see what makes sense and see how, you know, we could potentially maybe offer something like that in the near future.
As well as I think if we could get one and maybe try out some of these other sites, parks and stuff, because I personally feel like the parks are kind of the way for us to go. Connecticut has more parks than most states. We have 65 state parks. So in some of them, you know, we've passed on the opportunity because we think that it's not there, but parks have really come a long way since COVID, and they do have a lot more people going to them. And if we can have a cart instead of a concession stand where we can hit those prime time hours,
right,
we can really, you know, help people to build extra. I don't know if it can necessarily sustain. I think in certain places it can sustain for good for a season, but I think in other places maybe moving around and being mobile will really help us to compete with the other people too, because food carts are really the big thing. Like, I went to 3 craft fairs this weekend, and there were food carts at every single one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, the cool thing and the good thing about several of you in the program, and many in the program, is that you do think forward, and I appreciate that. And for that, you know, again, that's the type of dialogue that we need to look to expand within our limitations, in which could be possible. The million-dollar issue as of late is having someone who has a vested interest in doing these things. So, you know, if this is something that is seriously considered by anyone on this call, or, you know, maybe even through the eyes of VR, I need to establish that person first, because the one thing that we don't want to do, and again, it's not about the money, but in this case it would be somewhat about the money, is setting up a play and not having anyone to execute. You know, it's so, you know what I mean? So if there's things that, if we can find individuals who say, hey, this is what I would like to do, you know, in my area, per se, could you help me? Because that's one thing that we can't do, is we don't create opportunities based off of operators' convenience. We create opportunities based off of the need and our ability to solicit our program. So with that, it's kind of like we gotta be cautious on what we're trying to do, because we're gonna make sure we're not falling on our face once we do it. But I definitely like the idea. I think it's something that we can consider and think about offline.
I also think that sometimes people aren't aware of, just don't know how to ask or how to come up with the ideas. So I think it's important that we do talk about them, even if they're not completely viable, so that it can help other people come up with other ideas. Or maybe somebody didn't realize, oh, hey, that's an option. Hey, I'd like to do that in the off season. We can do that. Cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I think it's been very confusing the past few years about what is covered, what's not, you know, where we've been in this weird transition state going into
right.
The micro marts and so on and so forth. So even just an open transparency of, hey, here's some of the ideas that have been thrown. Is anybody interested in these ideas?
Correct.
That people maybe come to you privately with too, who maybe can't do it themselves, but think it's a great opportunity for somebody else, just throwing out a, hey guys, here's some ideas. Anybody interested in any of these, let me know.
I agree. And again, I want to be clear on this before I say this, is that, you know, if an idea in the food service, your food service idea is absolutely legit, but just doesn't, you know, or dances the fine line and doesn't allow that opportunity to come to fruition, you guys all need to remember that, you know, BEP is just an entity of VR. So, you know, if anybody should wake up with a $1 million idea that just doesn't fall in lines with our program, reach out to your VR counselor and see if that's something that could be supported as an entrepreneurial opportunity outside of our program. Like, one thing I don't want you guys to feel, and I truly mean it, I don't want anyone to feel obligated to wait for potentially the inevitable, obligated to feel like if you should want to explore other avenues, the ramifications on our program feel obligated to voice your frustrations, and or obligated to just ask for guidance in your life as to maybe taking other directions. I get it. Like, I get it. Our program isn't for everyone. But, you know, the thing is, the only thing I ask for everyone that remains in our program is to give your all. And with that, you know, whatever, wherever the chips lie, if they lie in an area which allows you to maintain comfort, to, you know, fulfilling your responsibilities, then I'm happy for you. And that's a win in my eyes. We're not judging any of these locations based off of profitability. Like I told you, RSA already stated that they do not have an expectation of minimum dollars annually. And I've heard from several operators who don't factor in, believe it or not, what they make, but just are legit satisfied with the ongoing opportunities, which gives them a responsibility. So we as a program are on many different sides of views of this program, but my thing is, I just want you to be happy. I don't want anyone to operate in misery, because if you operate in misery, I'll be more than happy to help you find something that will provide you, you know, just something to be happy about, something to be prideful for, and enjoy doing. And that's really what it's all about. No one should go to work upset, period.
Real quick question. I think I've been told in the past, can't be in the VR program and the BEP program. Is that correct or is that incorrect?
I don't believe that to be correct. You know, as long as you're maintaining your responsibilities through BEP, if VR can find you work at TJ Maxx or Marshall, that has no implications as a third shift. It has no implications on you as a BEP operator. So, I would say that's
incorrect. No, I mean more of the business plan through VR.
I don't know. I'll have to probe that question. I'm not certain with that, Frank. But
okay.
You know, should someone get that far, in you know, or it gets that far, for sure I'll have an answer by time a decision has to be made. But I'll pose the question. I've never heard that it couldn't be. I think if you can satisfy both jobs, I don't see where, you know, you'd be required to be limited to your roles and responsibilities in support of VR. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Tyrell, this is Shelly again. Question. You said that today would have been the chance to waive those two locations. So when do you have to go back to them with a actual answer about waiving or finding someone?
I asked for to have until the next meeting. So I think our next meeting is in March. So I have a few months.
Okay.
And again, we, you know, with the hopes that we get someone. And I'm hoping sooner than later, at least having someone identified who may or may not have the skill set to operate. This way, if they don't, they'll have several months to get themselves in order to be able to, you know, allow me to maybe then just hold off and say, okay, yeah, in March, we're starting March, you know, first, because that person had off time to train and bring their skill set to the standards that are required to operate the location. So we have until March for both locations.
Another question, piggybacking that, with since Amos, at least that's the one I'm aware of. Well, since both of them have been down, we all know inflation is taking a bite. So would all those things be overhauled when the new or potential new person took over? The menu costs and things like that?
Yeah, pricing? Oh yeah. Yeah. We would have to definitely reinvent the menu. And it could be potentially removing things or adding things. What I can say is both locations are eager for our service. So that's the plus, right? I mean, that's the true benefit. That's why I was allowed with ease to be able to get the extension, because they understand the difficulties of soliciting these opportunities outside of our program and getting any someone behind us because of, you know, all of the financial obligations that are unsupported like they're supported with our program, allowing you guys to make a earning from them. So both both agencies or both buildings, both locations, are favorable to our program and are siding with the hopes that we are able to place an operator.
New Britain is hard to do because we have the man of the year just leaving the place, so he's leaving huge shoes.
Well, you know what? But that's the thing. I asked him to take his shoes off and run with it, so... Amos left his shoes there on his last day, so it shouldn't be that hard. But let's wrap it up. It is 4:32. We went a couple minutes over. And just ending words, you know, I just want to reflect and tell you guys I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for everything that you guys have done throughout this year. Understanding, you know, there were some wins in our program for sure, financial wins, and just you know, other wins, and I think we're going to continue to do well, and we're headed in the right direction. Keep your head up, you know, stay transparent, build relationships with your field reps, and vice versa, and you know, let's just go into 2023 with a bang and continue to represent this Randolph Shepherd program in the light that we do. I will tell you, you all make me look good on different stages. You know, I'm tapped for no other reason than some of the things that we were able to execute and maintain because of you all. So, you know, I always give you guys the most credit whenever I'm on any public platform, and I continue and will continue to do so. But let's just squeeze everything you got out of you this year and see where we land. All right.
Okay. With that said, could I get a committee member to give us a motion to adjourn?
I, Brandy, make a motion to adjourn.
Motion been made. Can I get a second?
I second it, I guess.
Who's that?
Adam Fairbanks.
Adam, you're not a committee member, so I need a committee member to second the motion.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. Anyone from the committee want to get off the call? Second the motion.
Come on, get on the sheet. I can do it, but come on, somebody else get on the sheet.
I don't want to be here all day either, so.
All right, I second the motion.
All right. Motion been made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say no. Motion carries. Thank you all for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys. Happy holidays.
Bye.
Thanks everybody.
Happy holidays. Bye. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.